And please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that we read a little earlier, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, in the Pew Bibles, page 886, page 886, John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. It is our custom in this church that we take a book of the Bible and we preach through that book. We look at it passage by passage to see what it is saying. And a few weeks ago, we began a series of studies in this book, the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about his life, it's about his works, it's about his miracles, it's about his teaching, it is about his death, it is about his resurrection. Now, the reason why we focus upon Christ is because he is at the heart of the Christian faith. All who are Christians, as we heard earlier this morning, those who are born again and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is at the heart of our lives. He's at the center of our lives. And we as Christians love to hear about him. We love to hear about his works. We love to hear about his person, his character, his personality. We love especially, this may sound strange to you, but we love to hear about his death. And we love to hear about his resurrection. Because he died for sinners when he hung upon that cross. Our sins were laid upon him and he paid the penalty for our sins. This is why we've just sung that there is a fountain which has blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners who are plunged into that blood, those who are covered in that blood, washed in that blood. I appreciate this may sound gruesome, but this is biblical language. In other words, those who have come to the Lord Jesus and who have asked him for forgiveness, they find forgiveness for all their sins in Christ. So we love to hear about the Lord Jesus, and we look at this gospel as it teaches us about Christ. Now this morning, as we look at this passage, I'm going to pick out two phrases, just two phrases from this passage. And the first phrase I'm going to be looking at is in verse 14, where it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace." Full of grace. And then the second verse that I'm going to be looking at, or the second phrase, is found in verse 16, where it says, For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So this morning, as we look at this passage, I promise you I don't preach for a long period, but as we look at this passage, I have two things that I want to say to you from this passage. And the first is this, that Christ came into this world full of grace. The Word, and that's a reference to Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was born of a virgin in a stable in Bethlehem, just outside Jerusalem. These are historical events. These things really happened. And it is the most remarkable event. This is why every Christmas we celebrate this event. We mark this event, Jesus Christ born into this world. It's a remarkable event because it wasn't just a baby being born. It is God visiting this earth. I don't know if a British sovereign has ever visited Clevedon. I haven't lived in this country very long, and I don't know if a sovereign has ever visited Clevedon. But I would imagine if our town received a letter from Buckingham Palace, and they said King Charles has decided he wants to visit Clevedon. I expect that would become a memorable event. I expect there would be all kinds of plaques and things around the town, so that down the generations, people would say, do you know there was a time when the British sovereign visited our town? He actually came to Clevedon and he met the people of Clevedon. He walked around, he went on a walkabout and spoke with people, and he visited certain places here. It would be a remarkable event. The sovereign came to the town. Well, Christmas is celebrated because the King of the universe, not the King of Britain, the King of the universe, the creator of the universe, the one who created this world and the one who created us, came to this earth. He visited this earth. Now, this is what the Bible calls grace. Because I'm speaking on grace this morning, I want to explain grace to you. Grace is one of the most important words in the Bible. And it means this, that where we deserve to be judged and punished, God, instead of giving us judgment and punishment, gives us blessings. We have offended God. We have broken God's law. We have sinned. We have done things that are displeasing to Him. All of us this morning, myself included, when we examine ourselves, we examine our actions, we examine our thoughts and our words and the things that we've done, we would all have to admit, you can't get away from this, we would all have to admit we have done things that are wrong in the sight of God. We have had thoughts that are wrong, we have spoken words that are wrong, we have done things that are wrong in the sight of God, we have sinned. And so God, the one whom we have offended, God whose law we have broken, came to visit this earth. And this is the most remarkable thing, that when He came to visit this earth, He did not come in anger. He did not come in judgment. He did not come determined to punish sinners. He came to bless those who had offended Him. He came to bless those who had turned against Him. He came to bless those who rebelled against Him and did things against His law. He came with blessings. If you can imagine a country somewhere in the world, a large country, and one corner of that country, the people of that corner decide, we don't want the president or the king of our country to rule over us. We want to be autonomous, and they declare independence. Not only that, but they declare war on the ruler of their country in the capital. They say, we're against you, we hate you, and we're going to declare war on you. And the leader, the president or the king, decides to visit that region. Well, I expect the people of that region have every reason to fear, because he is the king of the country. The whole of the army is in his command, and he could bring the whole army and destroy them all. But imagine the king comes to say, look, you've rebelled against us, you've declared hatred towards me, let us sit down and reason together. Let's talk this out. I will be compassionate. I will be gracious. Let's talk this out. Jesus Christ came to this earth full of grace. I love that phrase, full of grace. Doesn't say with grace, because that might indicate apart from grace there was something else. But we saw this lovely illustration. You pour the water into the bowl and there is no more room. There's only water in that bowl. There can't be anything. You can't put anything else. You put anything else in it and the water leaves. So it can only be full of water. And this is a description of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ when He came. His heart was filled with love. His heart was filled with mercy. His heart was filled with compassion. His heart was filled with grace towards those who are on this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth full of grace. And then the second thing that this passage teaches us. And I'm looking at verse 16. And in verse 16, the Apostle John writes this, for from his fullness, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. It's an interesting way of putting it. The New Testament, the book that we're reading, the passage that we're reading, wasn't originally written in English. It was written in a language called Greek. And so what we're reading here is a translation. And this is actually a phrase that's very difficult to translate. And if you have different versions of the Bible, they will all say it in slightly different ways. But the best way I can explain this phrase here in verse 16, what it is saying is that Christ came into this world with a heart full of love and mercy, grace, compassion. And from his fullness, from this heart that is full of grace and mercy, we have all received grace and more grace and more grace and more grace. He keeps giving love and mercy, compassion and kindness to those who come to him. This book of the Bible describes those whom Jesus met. You know, it's very interesting when we look at the world and we look at the people in the world. We immediately begin to categorize people. I was in London yesterday visiting family and I walked through the streets of London. Now, of course, London is this huge cosmopolitan city. And you're seeing people from all nations there and all kinds of people. And because I was thinking about my sermon this morning, and I was looking at the, and I thought, well, we as human beings, and I'm not being racist or in any way offensive, but we do categorize people. And I was looking at the black people, and I was thinking, I wonder if they're African, because I'm an African. I come from Africa, and I wonder if they're fellow Africans of mine. And I looked at Indian people, and I thought, my origins are in India. I wonder if they're Indian people. And you look at others and think, I wonder if they're from Romania or Latvia or somewhere like that. This is how we categorize people, according to race or age or job description. You know, I wonder if they're in a professional job or are they in some menial task or something like that. When God looks at this world, when God looks at the entire population of the world, do you know this? God only sees two types of people. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are born again. Those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have repented. Those who have turned from their sin. Who have left their sin and come to Christ and put their faith in Christ. That's one category. And then the other category is those who don't believe in Christ. Those who haven't received Christ. Those who aren't born again. Those are the only two groups that God sees. God doesn't categorize according to race or nationality or color or job or anything like that. And this gospel, when we work through this book of the Bible, John's gospel, we meet people who are his people, who believe in him, who trust in him. And they receive from him kindness and compassion, grace and mercy. And then we meet in this gospel people who reject him. They hear his teaching, they see his miracles, and they reject him. And they say, we're not interested. There are some people we meet in this book, and they're highly religious people. They're decent people, moral people, upright people, but they rejected Christ. The kind of people who said, well, it's okay, he's come into the world, but I'm all right. I'm a decent person. I'm a moral person. I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. I'm okay. I don't need him. And in rejecting Christ, they rejected God. And in rejecting God, they rejected all the blessings that God gives. And so John says, all who believe in Christ, all who are born again, all who have repented, turned from their sins, and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, they receive from him grace and more grace and more grace. In other words, they receive from him blessings. What are these blessings? If you were to become a Christian here this morning, or if you are a Christian here this morning, what are these blessings? Can I just very briefly list a few of the blessings that God gives to us? the forgiveness of all our sins. There's only one way, you know, our sins can be forgiven. There's only one way we can know a clear conscience from the sins that we have done. It is Christ and His blood and His death on the cross. Our good works do not balance out our bad works. It doesn't work like that. I know that's a very common thought, and I know people believe this, that, well, I know I'm not perfect, and I know I've done a lot of bad things, but I've also done a lot of good things. I'm a good person, a moral person, a religious person. Surely my good works will outweigh my bad works. There's this sort of scales. There are no scales. We have sinned. We have guilt. We have offended God. And only the blood of Jesus, only the death of Jesus can cleanse our sins. Only forgiveness can be found only in Christ and the cross where He died. But it is a blessing, because all who trusted in Him, all who have received Him, all who have come to Him and say to Him, "Will you forgive me my sin?" All our sins are gone. They're all forgiven. He will never bring them up again. So there is this blessing of forgiveness. There is also the blessing of being a child of God. I wonder if Christians ever meditate on this and understand what a marvelous thing this is, what a tremendous thing this is. That we who have believed in the Lord Jesus, we who have received Him, we've been brought into God's family. We have been adopted. We have been made the beloved children of God. What a precious thing that is. And this is what God does. God pours His love upon us. God cares for us. God watches over us, because we are His beloved children. And then thirdly, there is the blessing of heaven. You know, there is a place called heaven. And it is a place of peace and of joy. A place where there is no suffering, no sickness, no death, no mourning, nothing of that kind. All the things that bring us distress here on earth, none of that is found in heaven. Heaven is a place where God dwells. Heaven is a place where there is fellowship with God. Heaven is a place where we know God and we know His love for us and we have love for Him. It's a place of love and fellowship, of joy and peace. How do we get into heaven? How do I get into this wonderful place? Do I do the best that I can? Do I make sure I'm religious and live a moral life, a decent life? No, it is through Christ. It is those who believe in Christ. It is those who received Christ and trusted in Him. They have a place in heaven guaranteed. Guaranteed. Do you know, my friends, those who are Christians do not fear death. We sometimes have questions about the process of dying, but not death itself, because we know where we're going. We know that Christ has gone before. We know that Christ has prepared a place for us. And we know we will be with Him when we leave this earth. Heaven is a promise that God gives to all who believe in Jesus. So two things in this passage. Christ came into this world full of grace, full of mercy, full of kindness. And all who believe in Him receive from Him mercy and grace and kindness, forgiveness of sin, salvation, and a guaranteed place in heaven. Praise God for His gift of His Son.